It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out radio show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When the sweat hogs were cutting class, Mr. Carter longed for the Horseshack laugh. Who did he turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
Astute Speak Out listeners also know that when the disco world looked for a John Travolta body double, there was only one choice.
Yo, Paulie!
No. This world-renowned, white-suited John Travolta look-alike has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only...
He's only mortal, folks.
Paul Lavoie.
All right, welcome to Speak Out. Little instrumental version or break in the song Bastille Day, because it is Bastille Day, and my family actually celebrated that growing up. Pretty crazy, right?
That is.
We would, my dad would save a lot of the fireworks, maybe a quarter to 30% of the fireworks from the 4th, and then we would take them to the school on Bastille Day and light them at night. Because we lived across the street from an elementary school in the parking lot.
Cool.
Metro would drive by. Oh, it's the little boys again.
Yeah.
That was back in the day. I don't think you could get away with it now.
It's just Paulie.
I just don't think you could get away with it now. That's what my mother, not my mother, but my second mom, nicknamed me that. So, Paulie. That's where that came from, because okay. I'm not a junior. So, he's Paul Edward. I'm Paul Mark. And it just kept going to junior, and he's not a junior, so she called me Polly, and it kind of stuck.
It kind of stuck.
There you go.
It's a great opening.
What do you mean?
Your opening for your show.
This is the chorus. This is what I was trying to find. So I think, and Marissa can correct me if I'm wrong, it might be John Rutsey on drums instead of Neil Peart. I'm not sure. It's on Caressive Steel, so... Marissa, look that up for me. She's the big Rush fanatic. So, anyway, Bastille Day by Rush. There you go. Jenny Koch, our guest. She is a Lake Havasu City Council member and candidate, right?
I am.
That's an interesting one. This is number 4. Is this your 4th term you're vying for?
That would be it.
Yeah? So this is, as I explained off the air, this is your show. This is, we want to know what... you want to talk about, right? And we'll take calls and we'll take texts and that. 928-854-5687. 928-854-KNTR. Or you can text us at 928-727-5566. And ever since we started that, it's been pretty popular.
I bet. People
yes.
do that.
It's off Caressive Steel, so it's Neil.
It's Neil. Okay. It is Neil Peart. So there you go. She knows... all that.
It's
Rush.
Like the Oz behind the curtain.
It's Rush, Rustery, not history, but Rustery. So there you go.
Gotcha.
All right. So anyway, text us a question, call in, ask Jenny a question, say, hey, Jenny, remember me from, 12 years ago when you ran the first time? Whatever, right?
Sure. Whatever anybody wants.
So I didn't know what you wanted to talk about today, but I would imagine, I don't know, the Commons, the PED, shoreline access, tonight's meeting, I don't know.
Yeah, shoreline access is positive. But I'll just kind of start, just for those who maybe are listening that maybe don't know me, maybe new listeners, that, I've been around Havasu for 25 years. My husband and I moved here from Nebraska 25 years ago to start our family. And kind of a tidbit of information a lot of people don't know, I came out here to see my grandparents after my grandpa was wintering here and had a stroke. It was January, and I was sitting by the pool at the Sands, and it was 70 some degrees. And I said, why in the world am I going back to below 0 degrees in Nebraska? So I went home. My husband and I were engaged and we were getting married. And I said, I'm going to move to Arizona. So are we in or out? And, you know, we sold our house, quit our jobs, packed up a U-Haul, and Corey had never been here. Sight unseen, drove into Havasu October 1st.
And how did he like it?
He ended up loving it. Like, Havasu City was wonderful to our family. He framed homes in this community for 20 years and then went to work in the building department for his last 5 years. But, you know, I'm not a Havasu native, but I've been here a long time. I was fortunate enough for my first 15 years to work for the Chamber of Commerce. So that's when I got to meet you. And we used to have our radio show and bring on local businesses. And was really very honored to be able to work with the business community. It was a pleasure to get to know so many great people.
You had a great mentor there too, Lisa.
Great mentor and best friend.
Yeah.
Still to
Lisa
this day.
Lisa Kruger.
Yes, she's the best. And we made a good team, a great duo. 10 years ago, the CEO of the hospital approached me about coming over and working for the hospital, and I said, absolutely not. I don't know anything about healthcare. That's not where I belong. And he told me then, he said, I can teach you anything about healthcare. I can't teach you to love Lake Havasu City.
Oh.
And I need somebody who loves Lake Havasu to sell it, to get physicians to want to move here.
Wow.
And that kind of stuck with me. And so I've been at the hospital since, and that's been a wonderful journey for me as well. But while my time at the chamber, I did get started in the leadership development program, and that's kind of where my interest in politics started.
Okay.
I wanted to run for the House, essentially, but then I realized really quickly that they don't make very much money to have to be down in Phoenix and travel back and forth. And I still had a young child at home at the time, so that wasn't in the cards for me. But at the time, then Mayor Nexen said, you know, you're more powerful and more impactful, I should say, to the public, closer to the people. So why don't you run for city council? And that's kind of how I got started.
Nice. And that's a pretty good nudge right there from a very respected former mayor.
He was a great mentor. It was an honor to serve with him. You know, he was a great mayor, and we went through some hard times, and it was a great experience.
Especially the sewer project.
The sewer project was big, you know, but that was mandated on us pretty much from the federal government, and you know how he
and state, right? ADEQ.
ADEQ.
Okay.
And so how he handled the financing of that and getting us through that project, very, very honorable.
So speaking of projects, what would you consider a pet project that you have? You know, like Michelle Lynn, I consider the clothes closet, right? She's very, very, very close to that project. What would you consider your own pet project over the past 12 years?
Well, I mean, so you're talking about something that wasn't within the purview of the city council. So are you talking about, like, my project now is to, we're working on a melanoma awareness program.
Oh.
We're starting a program and had a big donation in my husband's honor.
Oh, how nice.
So that's going to be my focus, kind of, if you're talking about something outside of council, if you're talking about in council.
In council, yes.
So, I mean, obviously, right now, the big thing on the horizon is the fire station. Let's finish that project. You know, people say that these things aren't, I don't know, you hear so many things and you read things online and get told things, and these are projects that without the support of at least a majority of the council, we can't move forward. And no one person on council can get anything done.
Right.
So people that tell you, oh, I'm going to do this, well, unless you have a majority of vote on council, you can't do that. And what you need is to be able to know the art of compromise and the art of getting along and being able to, you know, maybe this isn't exactly, you know, the way you wanted to see something, but if it's the will of the council, then when you walk out of that dais and walk out of that room, you have to be behind it because that was the will of the council. And sometimes I feel like we've lost ways on that.
So one of the big themes I'm taking from this campaign is Habsu then versus Habsu now, right?
Okay.
I don't see that much difference. I think a lot of people put things that are outside of our control in the spotlight where, you know, how much control do we have over the federal government or land grabs or land use or what's the other one? Housing.
Right.
Right? Affordable housing. I mean, how much can the city really do about the price of housing? They
can't.
You know,
and that's supply and demand. It's the same as it is with your ground beef in the grocery store or eggs.
Right.
I mean, it's supply and demand. And
so what is Havasu then versus Havasu now? What do you think the people are most unhappy about or most grateful for? If you were to choose one or the other. For me, let me put an example.
Okay.
For me,
okay.
I moved back. I did well the first time I was here. I've always done well in Havasu. Just something about it. I moved back to Vegas, not so much. You know, Bullhead, a little bit. But Havasu's always treated me right. I've always done well here. Things, my life has always been great here. You know, that's why I say Havasu then versus Havasu now. I don't see any negativity about it.
I don't either. And, you know, when we started this campaign, each campaign has been a little bit different. But when we started, I felt like some of the comments and even continued through, it's like sometimes you wonder why people live here if they hate it so much. And you,
good
like,
point.
I love this community.
Yeah,
I just want the community to be better. You know that old saying, leave it better than you found it?
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I want to be part of the solution and
right.
not part of the problem. And so if I don't step up and be a leader in the community, I can't complain that nobody else does. And so that's why I do it, because I enjoy being part of something that we can make Havasu a better place. And that means working together and doing great things. Fire Station 7, the mm-hmm. second bridge, parks, amenities for the kids. I mean, all across the board, you can't just do one single thing. We need to have something for everyone.
The second bridge, good that you brought that up. The next 4 years are going to be critical for that area, that landing point on the island. Does the city steer that in any way, or is there anything out there to really develop at that point where the bridge, you know,
on the island or on the mainland?
On the island.
On the island.
Both.
So we have the land lease for that. So we will. And I think some of the changes. Read it correctly, that it's going to actually, the land that we're going to have now, because we had to change it a little bit, it was saving us a ton of money on the bridge to move it so that the span wouldn't be as big.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's going to actually leave larger parcels on the island side that will be more
development friendly?
Well, yes. Yes, more appeasing to people to want to purchase to develop.
Okay.
So I think that's going to be a bonus on that side. But that's, again, not our land. But, I mean, if you look at it from that way, it will look better for people wanting to come in to make that area developed.
What would you name the bridge?
I
know it's a random question.
It is a random question.
Someone had a really good answer on this.
What was it?
The Beasuchi Bridge. I thought that was creative.
Yeah, you...
But
that's
I thought
creative.
The Beasuchi Freedom Bridge was
oh,
a better
there you go.
Fit and
there you go.
Make somebody really happy, right?
Right.
Named Gary
yeah.
Myers.
Oh, no. Oh, I don't even want to get involved in naming the bridge. Oh, my goodness. You know, that's one thing about Havasu is we do so much of that, of opening up to the public. I mean, just when they were naming the Main Street Commons and all of that, it should be public input. It shouldn't be us sitting back there deciding the best name for anything. So... when we get to that point, let's get to that point. But when we do, I look forward to the public input on that. That will be very important.
I'm glad you brought that up, public input, like with the Commons, for example.
Mm-hmm.
That project came out of what grant funding, and there was public input. But does the city – there was something brought up yesterday about public input and community meetings and that sort of. Does the city do that enough, do you think? Or is getting opinions online and the city council meetings, is that enough?
I think we're going to have to start getting more creative I don't want to divert from your question totally, but I want to go back to something you asked earlier about the difference between then and now.
Okay.
So the difference between then and now in these campaigns is social media. And I think, in my opinion... again, my opinion.
Very true.
What I've seen, and I do listen and hear, I don't always respond because I don't believe that my battles are to be fought on social media, and that's my personal belief. But there is more negativity now because I think there's a avenue and a venue for it. I believe back in the day when you had to buy print ads and put them out, they were way more expensive unless people were open to putting their wallets out there for their opinion. But on social media, it's free. And so you get a lot more of it, and then it snowballs. So with that, I would say that because of social media, we have a lot more opportunities to get more input from the public. For whatever reason, going to meetings and sitting down and listening to presentations just doesn't seem to draw a lot of people. And if that's where we're going to rely on our public input, then maybe we're not going to get the best sampling of input. So I think definitely needing to look into that and finding better venues and better opportunities so that we can engage more public.
Okay. I get it. Well said. All right. Let's go ahead and take a short break. Today in music history, 2002, this song, Kenny Chesney's seventh album, No Shoes, No,
no Shirt, No Problem,
goes number one on the country charts.
I saw him at the Sphere.
You did?
I did.
That would be a cool place to see him. What a great venue.
A friend of mine took me as a gift, and it was very, very nice.
I want to see the Wizard of Oz in there.
I saw that too.
Yeah, was it good?
Lisa and I went, because Lisa's from Kansas.
Oh, yeah, okay.
It was amazing.
The leaves are falling on you and everything?
I think they should do E.T.
Oh, that would be fun. That would be a lot of fun. Did you tell anybody there that?
No. But somebody listening to your show has any pull over there. They
oh, yeah.
E.T. Or Back to the Future would be awesome, too.
Everybody that runs the Sphere listens to this show.
They
sure.
probably do.
All right. No Shoes, No Shirt, No Problem. Number one on the country charts in 2002. That can't be right. You think?
Yeah.
Man, time flies.
It does.
All right. Lake Havasu City Council member and candidate Jenny Koch is with us. And we'll come back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out, 928-854-5687 or 928-727-5566 if you want to text in a question. And we have Ashley Wood. I almost said Missy Wood. We have Ashley Wood coming in at the bottom of the hour. And she'll join me and tell us a little bit about what's happening at River Cities United Way. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
No shit. No shit. No problems, no problems.
All right, a little Montgomery Gentry, one of my favorite country acts. It's all country today.
You always play country for me.
Well, that's what you listen to.
The country girl, yeah.
So, right. And, you know, you were talking about your daughter earlier when mm-hmm. she was younger. You got a trip coming up.
I do. Oh, she won't hear it from here, but I'm going to surprise her.
Okay. I'm not going to say the birthday, but it's a milestone birthday.
It is.
And I'm jealous. Very jealous because of where it is, right, in Utah?
Yes.
So I love it up there. But what's the difference between a Utah winter and a Nebraska winter?
A lot. It's not as cold in Utah, but it's still cold. I told her when she moved, can't you move somewhere with, like, a beach and sun all the time? She said, I grew up in sun, Mom. I just need some seasons.
Yeah, they have four seasons.
Yeah.
Exactly. And they probably have a four seasons. I know they have a Great America in Salt Lake.
Well, let me tell you what she does do is she calls me to complain when it does snow and she has to scrape her windshield and she has to scoop snow. And I tell her it's sunny and 70 here.
I think the last time I slept on the ground was up in the Wasatch Mountains somewhere fishing. And yeah, I was like, you know what? I'm too old for this. That's a young man's thing. All right. Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. Also, Mojave Electric Cooperative by Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford. TWN Fiber Internet. Salmon's Air Conditioning. Western Arizona Regional Medical Center. And by Booby Falls Restaurant and Rodeo. Have you tried the pizza yet?
I have.
It's
That's
amazing.
A very cool little place.
Don't they have great pizza, though?
They do.
They have the, what is he called? The Pineapple Peep Show.
I'll never forget when he came in when they did their liquor license, and someone on the council was like, can you just explain the name?
So it was, and it wasn't his idea.
No, it's a good story, though. He's got a good story.
That's how you get the Department of War and Finance on board with it, right?
There you go.
Exactly. Longtime Kiwanian.
Yes.
You are.
I'm probably one of the longest standing ones at this point.
You and Mike.
Yeah.
So, for sure. What is it you like best about Kiwanis?
So, I will tell you that when I did the leadership program back in the day, when we had Nonprofit Day, we used to, part of the program was we'd have our lunch was with the Kiwanians. And I'll never forget, I think I laughed more in that hour than I had. I mean, we had so much.
There.
Mike Carr and Kurt Greer, and we had Hal Christensen and Mondo, and it just was a fun group of people. And
sure, sure.
It just, I right after I left that day, I said, I'm going to join Kiwanis.
Nice.
And I don't get to devote as much time to Kiwanis anymore because my job just doesn't let me get out very often. But I do love to, I used to be the one that coordinated all of the Toys for Tots. That's a big undertaking, and we have some great volunteers that do that now. But that was my favorite, is being able to hand out toys at Christmas.
Doesn't matter who is running that program. Lisa ran it
for
so
years.
Many years, and then people just take the torch.
Yeah,
it's always going to be there. So
the flag program's pretty amazing, too.
That's my favorite. That's definitely my
favorite. I love seeing that.
I'm a flag guy. I was the guy that had the balcony wrapped in flags on the 4th of July, you know, in my condo. So let's talk, get a little bit more serious here, and talk about the PED and Go Lake Havasu.
Okay.
So Go Lake Havasu, some serious problems lately, in my opinion anyway, especially personnel issues.
Okay.
What would Go Lake Havasu be better off as a, maybe this part of Go Lake Havasu not under the city's umbrella, say like the visitor center that has been suggested, and the rest of it under the city's umbrella, you know, going in-house, as they say?
Yeah.
What's your take on all this?
So I have a little different perspective because I worked in that building alongside, hand-in-hand with what's now Go Lake Havasu. When I started, it was the Tourism Bureau, and then it was the CVB.
CVB, right.
So my perspective on it is this. It's not the council's job to manage Go Lake Havasu. We do put out a contract for service, and it's to our discretion what that contract for service is. And it's up to us to make sure that they're fulfilling their duties on the contract as requested, and if not, then we don't fund it. I don't believe it's not our responsibility, nor do I want it to be our responsibility to manage the day-to-day operations of a nonprofit organization. That's their deal. They need to make sure their board is apprised of the right people. They need to have the right staff in place. But just like if we do contract work with ABC tire shop, and the tire shop goes through management problems and they go through bankruptcy or whatever, that isn't our problem.
Mm-hmm.
Our problem is, are you fulfilling our contract for services? And if you're not, then we're going to pull our funding. And that's how I look at both Go Lake Havasu and the PED. I do not feel that it's going to be a money saver to bring them in-house. I feel like if they're not doing the services that we're requiring of them in the contract, then that's on us to make the adjustments necessary.
Okay.
And that's how I look at it.
Have you looked at the situation, say, in Bullhead or Kingman, and are they different from us, or
are
there similarities?
I think that they're different in the fact that they're different communities. I mean, you can't compare. They're not apples to apples. Bullhead City is across from Laughlin, Nevada. I mean, whenever you have casinos and gaming money and a different state, you're dealing with different tourism and different things. Kingman, you know, they have a lot of industrial area. They have a railroad. We don't have that, but they don't have a lake. So it's a lot. We're not comparing apples to apples.
And one thing, good point, and one thing I've learned about Kingman is they have a lot of international visitors because of Route 66.
66. Yes.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. They have that going for them,
so
too.
So we all have our own niche, and it's good.
Mm-hmm.
But in my opinion, in my experience, and what I know about the organization, and when I've seen the organization when it's at its best, I don't think it's worthy to bring it in-house just because they've had a rough couple of years. I think that they're doing what we've asked them to do in the contract, and if they're not, or we want to change the contract, then that's on the council.
So does the city get more involved, though, when choosing the next director? It seems like that's been an issue.
I don't know why we would want to choose the leader of an organization that we don't have control over.
Okay.
If they can do the job, we don't do that for any other organization in town. I don't know why. It'd be like saying we pick the general manager of the business that we're going to do business with.
The only long term that I remember was Dan Henning, right?
Dan Cunning. Before Dan was Bonnie Barsness.
Okay.
And then Dan Cunning.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And then I remember.
And then we had Doug Traub.
Oh, yeah, right. So, I mean, they are out there.
They are. And it's finding, you know, it's just like good physicians.
Mm-hmm.
I tell doctors when they come and I spend a lot of time with them.
You do recruitment?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Not every doctor is going to like have a Sioux City. And that's okay. It's not for everyone. But make that choice before you move your whole family here and don't like it. There are things, I love Havasu. I love the ability to be able to go 2 hours and get away, but come back and not have crime and traffic and all the issues, right? But some people don't like that, and that's okay. But it's not for everyone.
I got you. Anything else you want to add now that we have about a minute, maybe 2 minutes?
Okay.
Why should people vote for Jenny Koch for Lake Havasu City Council?
I have no hidden agenda. I'm not in anybody's back pocket. I don't make any money from investors. I know there's been so many stories out on the internet.
I haven't seen it, you know, that one.
I will tell you, you know, the last election, somebody went out and was claiming that the city bought my house, and now they're claiming, you know, I get all this money from deals. And I'm literally one of the only ones that can zero. I don't have any business. Mm. I work for somebody. So I'm there because I want to be and because I love Lake Havasu City. I have a proven leadership record. I'm here. I show up. I'm there. I'm involved. I care. And that's why I'm doing it. And that's why I decided to run one more term. I was going to be done. But unfortunately, God handed me a different deck of cards and said, you know, maybe that's not the direction. So I'm wanting to serve Lake Havasu for 4 more years, and if I'm honored enough, or if I'm grateful or graded enough to be able to be given that opportunity, then I look forward to that. But it's been an honor, it's been a pleasure, and I love this city.
Is that it? Anything after that 4 years, you think in state maybe like you were before?
I don't know. We'll see where I got accepted into the Flynn Brown Fellowship, and that is a very prestigious group. It's the second largest philanthropic organization in Arizona.
Oh.
There's only about 494 fellows right now, and it's a program through the Flynn Foundation, and looking forward to starting that in August, and we'll see if maybe that sparks some more interest in my brain.
Nice. Jenny Koch, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you for having me.
We appreciate you being on. Don't forget, folks, a week from today is the primary election.
It is.
1 week from today. Hard to believe. All right. Looks like we'll have... Oh, man, I always do this. Ashley Wood.
Oh.
Ashley Wood coming into the studio from River Cities United Way. Thanks for stopping by. We appreciate you. All right. 928-854-5687 is the number. Back with more in a moment on Speak Out. Stay with us. When the sun goes down, we'll be grooving when the sun goes down. We're feeling all right when the sun sinks down. I just thought of playing this song because you guys are like talking about hair and talking about this, talking about outfits, talking about this. It's like, all right, I'm gonna go some girl power rock here, right?
Oh, yeah.
And you like rock, so.
I do.
And I love this song. I love Joan Osborne. She's pretty cool. She's got another song called Right Hand Man that's really, really, really off that same album.
So. I remember wanting a nose ring because of her.
Really? So you know the album. Perfect. All right. Speak Up brought to you in part by The Chair. That's right. That's another Dallas and Danny venture, right?
Very nice.
But doesn't have boobies.
No.
Just have chairs.
Yeah.
Just has butts. Butts and chairs. Also, sorry, Dallas. Mojave College, also Solar Power by Esme Electric, by Dorita's Place for Pets, Legacy Rehab and Care by A&B Propane, online at abpropaneaz.com. Again, 1 week from today is primary election day. 1 week from tonight is like one of my longest nights of the year, it feels like, because I have to be on point for news.
Oh, yes.
Ron Gould and I are doing the election night show on KNTR Talk.
That's going to be awesome.
Especially with Ron Gould, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You're going to definitely have some interest.
I think so, too. I'm coming up with a couple of options, too. Like take a bill and say, did Hobbs veto or sign, right? I'm just thinking maybe a list of 10 or 12 of those. That'd be fun.
So you're taking callers, right?
Oh, yeah,
absolutely.
And then we'll interview candidates and that sort of thing. Not sure if it's filled up, but if you haven't gotten your place on the sponsorship list yet, you might want to call Red Bull Ronnie because his phone's burning up, folks. And 1 week from today on Speak Out, I always like to do on Election Day, I like to do a little political edge to it. It's Election Day.
Absolutely.
Hilde Angus is going to be right there where you're sitting.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Very good.
Is that cool? And she's not running, so there's no agenda there. So she'll be able to give us the down low on her legacy.
Yeah, a great discussion.
I mean, look how many years of public service there's been, right?
Right.
When you look at the Board of Supervisors, you look at the State Senate, and Hilde, I think, once you hear what she's done. There's things I didn't know, but I recently went to a ball game with her in Phoenix.
Oh, yeah?
And I learned a heck of a lot. Yeah, I was like, wow, I didn't know you were involved in that. It's all this behind the scenes stuff that you have no idea.
It is amazing when you do get to know people on a completely different personal level.
Yeah.
And then you really do understand what makes them, you know, function and why their angles, you know, are so passionate to them.
So I just confirmed it yesterday, and Hilde will be on the show. There was a little bit of questions. So anyway, that's set in stone, so we're good to go. Anyway, Ashley Wood is here. She is the CEO for River Cities United Way and the brainchild behind Slider Safari.
Yeah, we did kick off Slider Safari. I am so grateful for that. You know, and a big shout out and thank you to Dot Foods, Unisource Energy, Foothills Bank, and Radio Central for making it possible for us to advertise, promote, and also be able to host a very hot event. It was so hot.
Were there any like smashed sliders?
You know,
that's the new thing, right?
Yeah, there are smashed sliders, but there was such a spread of menu options, and it was something for everybody. Because I asked people, I said we had two vendors, food vendors there, which would be Sweet Crepes and True Eats, and the selection was very robust because we had a total of I believe it's 8 sliders and 7 sides, and so we had a little bit of every kind of protein. We had a vegan, we had gluten-free buns, we had a little bit of everything.
Gluten-free buns.
Well, yeah, because we really want to cater to, you know, everybody's requests and making sure that everybody understands they're just as important as the next person.
When I have to worry about gluten and A1C and all that, come on, man.
I know. I feel that. I really do, because mine's B12 and
oh, it is.
You know, and it's amazing how, you know, we don't realize how something that we function on or nutritious food could actually be a hindrance. So you want to make sure you just pay attention. And that's what that whole program, Slider Safari, was about. Bite-sized food, in bite-sized information that people were able to get when they walked around, with stats and information from our partner agencies. Like Special Olympics was there, and they had activities, and we were playing with the athletes. We had Geo Group. The president had designed special custom-made cornholes, as well as a face cutout prop that people could take pictures in. It looked like they were on the Jeep. It was beautiful. Chucky Bumps and the Crocodiles did an awesome performance. Even when
Marissa was there?
I was going to say, even when we had some electronic struggles that we had to, it wasn't their fault.
Okay.
We just had to go and flip some breakers a couple times.
Oh.
But yeah, I'm just forever grateful for the attendance. At the wrap of it, we had raised just over $8,000.
Not bad.
Yeah, we had a goal to raise 20, so we're heading there. And we actually just had Unisource reach out and say we would like to throw an additional 3,000, because what I didn't mention is they did three safety demonstrations at that event. Yeah, so we had, in between, Jillian Usher was our MC at the event. She did an awesome job, stood up there and jumped right in. Cal came and did a speech at the event, which was awesome. It was so sweet. But the guests would get up there to the parking lot to go see the safety demonstration, and I've seen it a few times, so I was honored when they asked if they could come and do it. But watching the crowds, everybody run up there to watch the demonstration with the grapefruits and seeing why you don't touch a power line or watch what you're doing, you know, so it was a lot of fun. We did enjoy it.
So I call the meeting after the event the postmortem. Mm-hmm. I've always called it that. What's the main takeaway from the postmortem this year?
Oh, so you're asking about the pros and cons recap that we did? Yes.
No, what's the main take? What would you change if you have the event one more time or a succession of years?
We would definitely utilize volunteers a little differently, because our volunteers, I mean, boy, I really thank every single person that was there, because starting at 5 a.m., people were participating and helping out until about 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, and being that it was so hot, it was tough. So, you know, I would say if we were going to do it again in May, potentially even doing it more indoors to accommodate for our guests, that was one thing that we discussed. Or also moving it earlier in the day and maybe not making it at the prime heat. Maybe right as it's getting warmer, make it a lunch thing as opposed to a dinner.
I was going to say, wasn't it on a Friday?
It was a Friday.
Why was it on a Friday?
It is National Slider Day.
Got it.
It was a good way to kick off.
Oh, I see. Okay. What'd you call it? Salute to Service? What's coming up?
Oh, we have Day of Caring coming up.
Day of Caring.
Yes.
Got it.
Yes. Okay. Day of Caring is going to be on September 12th in Kingman. We'll be meeting at the River Cities United Way parking lot, which is located at Foothills Bank on Hualapai Mountain Road. And we meet at 7:30. All the volunteers show up. We come there, get snacks, waters, trash grabbers, gloves, safety vests, and then everybody makes sure they fill out their release forms, because we're going to go around and take pictures, but everybody is able to collect all the items. They collect their map for their zone they're going to go to, which we have a total of 14 zones that the teams go and collect. When we just did this in April, we had just over 40 volunteers that participated. We're looking to double that number for the fall. And then also with the amount of bags. So we had collected 63 bags. We want to double that. And if we can more than double it, that'd be wonderful. But we don't want to create trash that's not there. We just want to find all of it.
What is the incentive to volunteer? Volunteer programs are only as good as, one, the scope of the work. They know what they're going to be doing when they get there, or they're just checked out.
Yep.
And what is the interest? What's the carrot?
Okay. So for River Cities United Way, it's community resiliency is what our focus is in one of our impact areas, mm-hmm. and making sure that we take care of the community, because it's not just about impacts and handing out dollars or collecting money. It's about our partnerships and our support to the community that we call home. And Kingman is part of our service territory in Mojave County. And so we're excited to, I just pushed out the sign up form to the teams and the advertisements. And then that way, I've already started seeing people signing up as we're going, because teams have a dedicated zone they're usually really partial to. I've already had people say, I really, really want to be over by Beale Street. I'm like, okay, then let's get your form in first, you know, or let's join forces and, you know, bring a friend. So double all the numbers and, you know, just make a larger impact of being proud of the community that we call home.
Okay, makes sense. This is your second time around as CEO. Right?
Yes. Yes. October. Well, December 13th will be my 2 years.
Your 2 year. I knew you passed a year, but I wasn't sure when.
Yes.
Are you where you want to be, goal wise?
Well, I'm always wanting more.
That's a good CEO. Yes.
Yeah. I as I mentioned with Day of Caring, I'm always looking for more volunteers, more campaigns. Tomorrow I get to go and do a presentation for the Michael Allen furnishing team. And I am so excited because it's been a minute since I've gotten to be in there and talk with everybody and show them, you know, what we're doing with River Cities United Way.
It's been a minute.
It's been a minute.
I love that. I love that.
I'm a youngin.
Yeah. Hey, we all are. You know, I'm 18 till I die. So what can I say? Yeah. But I guess the other thing would be, what about board members? Are you good with board members?
That's what we're proactively looking is building our numbers. And so we just updated our onboarding packet. I am so excited because United Way Worldwide has this onboarding presentation. And one of the things that I've talked about with the board that we have currently five members. And that can be, I'd definitely, yet again, I want to double numbers. It sounds like this is a year for doubles
that
for me.
That doesn't sound like a lot.
Not enough.
Yeah.
Not enough. Not for the outreach, the advocacy. It's many hands make light work.
Well, you need three to make a quorum.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, and they're phenomenal. Everybody has gone above and beyond on my board. And I am so forever grateful. So that is the discussion we had just the other night was who are we meeting with. We did schedule and we've had some one-on-one meetings with some potential candidates. And then once those interested parties submit their applications, we're able to review that as a board and make sure that it's a right fit because we want to make sure we're diversified in areas and diversified in angles that we're focused on. So we don't want to be only, you know, one category specific. So that way we really can diversify that conversation at the table.
So again, we're talking with River Cities United Way CEO Ashley Wood. And so what is the right fit for your board member, your new board member?
So our
board member.
Our board members meet on a monthly basis. That's the second Wednesday at 3:00, and we offer both virtually and in person for those that are out of town or on the road. And with the board, what we do is they're there to help be the governing and the convening of information. They're also there to be the liaison to our network building. So whether that's volunteers, campaigns, public interest, or just honestly, you know, policy as you've talked about, if we don't get behind a policy or a specific, you know, candidate, what we get behind is the cause and focusing on changing and making the positive long-term lasting impact. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for us, we're very much looking for that scope of somebody who's interested in showing up, having the conversations and, you know, just maybe has a little bit of background in nonprofit, but if you don't, that's nothing to be, you know, alarmed with, or that you don't have experience on a board. My first time being on a board, I was on the Havasu for Youth board when I was in high school.
Diana Thornton. I remember that.
And I, you know what, I absolutely loved it, and it was such an eye-opener because that's when I learned about Robert's Rules of Order.
Oh.
You know, and we do follow that. You know, we do have voting and making sure that everything's going over. So they look at that consent calendar. You know, we discuss our financials, and the board really is making sure that the staff and the volunteers and the programs are operating at an optimal, you know, measure.
Sure.
And if it's not, we're going to evaluate and assess how we can strengthen that organization.
Interesting. I was just kind of pulling these topics mm-hmm. out of thin air, but what do you, well, except for Day of Caring, of course, and the Slider Safari, is there anything else that you wanted to add?
Absolutely. So Ride United it's Ride United Transportation Access. This is a grant that we received last year from United Way Worldwide. So excited. And I did apply for a continuation, so I'm really hoping that we do get additional funds for that. That grant does close, though, August 31st.
What does that mean, Ride United? So you're offering transportation assistance to whom?
Correct. So Ride United Transportation Access is a partnership with Lyft Services.
Oh.
So what United Way Worldwide and Lyft and 211 have all combined to be able to have how they can create caseworkers, basically, that are going to dispatch these vouchers. Not necessarily caseworkers because it's a lax term, but, you know, it, to that capacity. What's going to happen is that grant allowed for us to create vouchers through Lyft services. And we onboarded partners. Our strong player right now is Child and Family Resources. And I just looked right before I came over here. They have, since April, provided 98 vouchers to clients. This, through our grant, has cost the amount of $1,156.68 in rides that United Way has provided for clients in both Kingman and in Lake Havasu. You asked what kind of clients those are. That's going to be our at-risk individuals, somebody who is looking, because the categories are pretty broad. We've got economic stability. If they're looking to go in, and I've had people say, you know what, this is a tough subject for some. I've had a DUI. I can't drive. And that's actually a thing.
Great
if you
point.
Cannot drive mm-hmm. and you need transportation, you got to go get that UA, and you want to make sure that you're not going back, you know, behind or serving time or any of that. That's on there. Legal's on there. Housing. I've seen where people are asking for commuting to and from work because all of a sudden a car had to go into repair and they don't want to lose their job. And we want to keep that workforce going. So we're not only helping those Lyft drivers and stay, you know, in employment or gain services. Mm-hmm. Same thing for the clients that are getting to and from, and that goes into health, food, employment, legal, housing, and economic stability are our categories. And that's huge for what it is. When I look at it, it's a total of 353 miles that has been completed in the last 2 months of transportation service. So thank you to the Lyft drivers. I don't know you, but I do appreciate the services that are happening. And you know, if there's somebody who's saying, you know what, maybe I'm looking for some side, the more drivers we have, and I have people say, can we go in this community? I need to have a driver capacity. So if the grant says, yep, we have enough drivers, yes, this is a high need area, we can fund, I'm all on that, and I will try to fight for every dollar to keep it here.
That's fantastic. You know, congratulations on getting that grant.
Thank you.
I know how gratifying that is.
Oh, big time, big time.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. All right, Ashley Wood, our guest CEO at River Cities United Way, and always good to hear from you. And what do we got coming up here in the next, I don't know, what's the next event?
It's definitely going to be Day of Caring.
Okay.
And campaigns. I'm big into campaigns right now. I'm scheduling people all the way through December right now.
And then what's the rendezvous point again over there on Stockton Hill Road?
We've got a Wallapai Mountain.
Wallapai Mountain Road,
2202, I believe. 2202. Okay. It's Foothills Bank.
Foothills Bank.
Parking lot.
Right. On Wallapai Mountain Road.
7:30 a.m. September 12th.
Perfect. Is that Saturday?
It is.
All right. Nice. Congratulations on the grant again.
Thank you.
That's a big grant. All right. We're going to take this one right up to the top of the hour. I'm Paul Lavoie, and join us tomorrow on Speak Out.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.